Hello, friends. It is I, Duncan Trussell, and you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. This is my probably 20th attempt at recording the intro to the podcast. I've actually turned on Periscope, so now I'm doing this in front of a live digital audience, hoping that in some way this will inspire me so that I actually get a podcast uploaded this week. I missed last week for a variety of reasons, one of them being a brand new addiction to the incredible video game The Binding of Isaac. I wish that I had some other good excuse for not getting a podcast up, but I've been snorting some of that sweet digital heroin last week, and the end result is I didn't get an episode up, and so I am deeply and profoundly sorry. I'm going to release two this week to make it up to you, my sweet friends. Today's episode is with Shane Stott. Shane Stott is the founder, CEO, and president of Zen Float Company. And these are the people, he is one of the people who produces float tanks that you can, that don't cost the same amount as Samadhi tanks. Samadhi tanks are very, very expensive. They're like $13,000, $12,000 to get one of these. And a Zen Float tank is, I think, $1,700. And so these guys are my new sponsors. Full disclosure, I've had this float tank for about a month, maybe a month and a half now, and I haven't been talking about it because I wanted to make sure that it wasn't a piece of shit. And I wanted to make sure that it didn't leak. I wanted to make sure that it functioned in the same way that other float tanks that I've experienced have functioned, because I'm not going to tell you guys about something that I'm sponsored by unless it completely works, unless it's completely amazing. And this thing is fucking incredible. I've had to bite my tongue in so many podcast intros because I've been having some of the strangest, most intense, beautiful experiences in this thing, but because it's a float tank and because it's a sitting pool of salinated water in my house, I didn't know if something could happen. I didn't know if all of a sudden something would grow inside of there. I didn't know if over time the thing would degrade, or I didn't know if the heating system wouldn't work, or the filtration system would break down, or if the thing would fuck up. And so I had to wait to start yapping about it because I don't want to lead you guys in the direction of maybe buying something really expensive that doesn't work very well. But it's been a month and a half, and so far the thing has been flawless. You do have to take care of it. It's water in your house. It's 10 inches of water that has 650 pounds of Epsom salt in your house. It uses two filtration systems, but you still have to take care of it, and there's stuff you have to do each week, which is to measure the pH level of the water, to make sure that you have enough hydrogen peroxide in the water, and to make sure that the water, that you've got enough water in there. It's got to be 10 inches. So there is some upkeep and some maintenance, but I enjoy doing the maintenance. It makes me feel like some kind of weird alchemist as I take care of this pool of water sitting in my house. All that being said, I can't even describe to you how incredible it is to know that at any point in the day, if I want to, I can slide into a hole in the universe, into a womb. It's like having some kind of womb made out of void material sitting in your house. And it's a strange, it's an amazing thing. I didn't expect it to be as incredible as it actually, I don't know what I was expecting. But it's a million times more incredible than what I expected. It's one of the most psychedelic things that it is the most psychedelic thing that I have. And it's something that, some of the experiences I've been having in there are so outlandish and bizarre and weird that I feel embarrassed to talk about them. And I talk about one of them during this podcast. And I just want you guys to know that when you hear me talking about it, I'm fully aware of, number one, how woo-woo and weird and strange it sounds, and number two, I'm fully willing to write off any experience I'm having as just some kind of neurological response to being encapsulated in complete blackness. I don't know what actually is going on in there. And I'm very comfortable with the concept that there's no such thing as any external entities, deities, spirits, ghosts, God beings outside of what exists inside the neurological wiring of the human brain. It doesn't bother me. As to quote, and I love quoting this only because I like saying it, to quote the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus, as above, so below. And so it doesn't matter to me if everything is just a neurologically assembled reflection of the external universe, or if there is, in fact, an undiscovered species of hyperdimensional disembodied entities that we have up until this point called angels, aliens, demons, spirits, gods, whatever. It doesn't matter to me if a person's encounter or the relatively consistent reports from all corners of the globe of people coming into contact with extra-dimensional beings is in fact contact with extra-dimensional beings or just contact with some deeply embedded subconscious archetypical symbols that are somehow hardwired into the human brain. So that being said, I've had some weird shit happen inside that tank, and we're going to talk about it in this podcast with Shane Stott. And we're going to dive right into that. But first, some quick business. Today's episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast is brought to you by WarbyParker.com. Go to WarbyParker/Family Hour to receive free shipping on your final choice of frames. If you want to get glasses, that means you got to go down to an eyeglass monger. And this is a weird feeling, man. I've gone to a few of these motherfuckers, and they sell you these goddamn lenses, these glasses, the frames of these glasses, and they pretend, they act like these fucking glasses were forged in the fires of Mordor. You're already blind. You're not in a great situation. But the fact that these monsters at these eyeglass shops want to add to your disability by trying to yank as much dough as they can out of your wallet in exchange for some cheesy looking crap frames that are going to make you look like you're the judge of the next American Idol is truly an abomination. Go to WarbyParker.com/Family Hour. Instead of going down to one of these eyeglasses shop where some billionaire eyeglass vendor will hover over you like a vampire in an orphanage, you can go online to WarbyParker.com/Family Hour, and you can try their home try-on program. They will send you 5 beautiful pairs of glasses, which you can try on in the comfort of your own home in front of your closest associates and lovers. Do you want to try on a $7,000 pair of glasses in the company of blind fools who've been sucked in by the magnetic attraction of some inauspicious eyeglass vendor who doesn't give a shit about people who have disabilities but only wants to pad his already overflowing bank account with the money of the blind? Or do you want to try on these beautiful glasses in the sweet sanctity of your home temple where you can try all your secret poses from the side eye to the Ford glare? Listen, I don't want to have to take beta blockers when I go out to try on glasses, and it's uncomfortable. And a lot of these places, they make it to there's one mirror in the store. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there's like one spot in the entire store where you could try these glasses on. So you can't do your orgasm face when you're in Manhattan about to get your life energy sucked out by some kind of dark eyeglass gypsy. Warby Parker has prescription glasses that start at $95, including the lenses. Options include glasses, reading glasses, and sunglasses. Here are the key points that I gotta read. Glasses should not cost as much as an iPhone. Your glasses should not cost as much as the device that's probably causing you to lose your vision. They use premium Japanese titanium and French non-rocking screws. And that's one thing my dad always told me when I was growing up. He said, son, only use French non-rocking screws. Just trust me. They make buying glasses easy and risk-free. You can try it on in the comfort of your own home You can keep the frame for 5 days before sending them back for free. When you place an order for prescription glasses, they'll get started on them right away and have them in your hands within 10 business days. They usually arrive faster than that. They offer non-prescription polarized sunglasses for $95, $145 of titanium, and prescription polarized sunglasses for $150, $195 if titanium. Give it a shot. They supported this podcast. Give them a try. Worst case, you don't like any of the glasses and you don't use them. Go to warbyparker.com/family hour today. Also, a gigantic thanks to many of you who have been donating to the podcast. I don't know what happened, but there was a sudden influx of donations just coming out of nowhere. To those of you who have been doing that, thank you very much. I can't believe you're doing that. You don't have to do that, obviously, and it's amazingly flattering that you are donating. There's other ways you can support this podcast, too. The easiest way that requires no donation is to go to through our Amazon portal, which is located at any of these in any of these episodes. Go through the portal. Anytime you're buying anything on Amazon, they give us a percentage of anything that you purchase, and it costs you nothing. And I am a gigantic fan of Amazon. I love it. It's amazing to me. I don't go anywhere anymore. All of the everything that I pretty much everything. That I buy now is ordered either through Amazon or Instacart, which I also use. But there's really no reason to go drudging out of your house to buy stuff at a store anymore. Most of the stuff that you need, Amazon's got this really cool thing, which is fascinating but pretty badass, which is that you can actually subscribe to getting stuff that you are definitely going to run out of, like paper towels or garbage bags. And you never have to worry about it again for the rest of your life. Every few weeks or months, or depending on how much you are taking, how much you're pooping, and you can gauge. You have to figure that out. I keep a schedule above a little whiteboard above the toilet where I mark every time I do that, and then from that I. Spend a lot of time putting that into an Excel spreadsheet, which I send to a team of scientists who then give me an algorithm that I use to order my toilet paper. You don't have to go through that trouble. You can just guess. Probably need new toilet paper every month or a few months, and Amazon will deliver that straight to your door. You don't have to worry about it anymore. That great cognitive dissonance that comes. Most people are afflicted by it, and it's pretty brutal. To be struggling every day under the incredible weight of not knowing exactly when you're going to need to buy more toilet paper. It's driven many people into the madhouse. Not anymore. Now you can overcome that awful subjective gravity by signing up for subscription toilet paper by going to Amazon. But please go through our portal and bookmark it, won't you? A giant thanks to all of you in Australia who have bought tickets for my upcoming Australian tour in November. Tickets have never moved so quickly for any of my shows as they have for these upcoming shows in Australia. So thanks, you guys, for buying tickets. And for those of you who are in Australia and want to see me and Johnny Pemberton do some stand-up, go to DuncanTrussell.com, and all the dates are up there. So you can get tickets. We're very excited about this tour. I've never been to Australia before, and it's also in New Zealand as well. I've never been to Australia, I've never been to New Zealand, and I just can't wait to go there. Very excited to see koala bears, kangaroos, and highly poisonous jellyfish, which I'm sure even if I don't go in the ocean, I will get stung by one. I hope not. I shouldn't have said that. I'm not going to get stung by a jellyfish because I'm not going to go in the ocean in Australia. Or if I do go in the ocean, I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe one of you Australian listeners can help me, can help alleviate some of the anxiety I have going over there. But from what I've heard, many of the beaches in Australia are actually coated with a 17-inch thick coat of protoplasmic poisonous jellyfish gel. The entire beach is just this throbbing, alien, pink, veiny thing that if you come within a couple of miles of, it shoots barbs into you and your children, and you spend several weeks. This is what I've heard. I've heard that many of the beaches in Australia are covered in deadly jellyfish, and then surrounding those beaches are several blocks of people having seizures from the barbs of the jellyfish that were launched out of them into the people trying to get to the beach. Is that true, or is that just a rumor? Let me know by going to DuncanTrussell.com and posting there today. All right, there it is. Thanks for bearing with me, guys. It is insanely hot in my podcast studio, which is an obvious problem that I've got to figure out how to fix. I can't run the AC while doing the podcast because it's too loud, but I can't do the podcast if temperatures in the podcast studio have risen to 115 degrees. I think that I could cook an egg on my microphone right now. So I'll work this out. I'll figure it out. If any of you out there have any kind of advice on ways to cool a space with a silent air conditioner that doesn't cost a ton of money or doesn't require me to drill a hole into my house, please, please let me know. It's definitely a gigantic problem, and it gets even worse when I have guests over to interview and they're broiling in here. I've got to figure it out. Maybe I need to rent an office space, but I don't want to do that because I feel like it takes away from what I really love about the podcast, which is the intimacy of having people over at your house. So help me. If you guys know of a way to cool down a space that's silent and isn't going to make me have to do construction work on a home that I'm currently renting, I am all ears. All right, let's get on with this episode. Today's guest is the founder of the Zen Float Company. You can find out everything you need to know about Zen Float Tanks by going to zenfloatco.com. And if you're interested in having your own float tank, if you enter in offer code FAMILYHOUR, you'll get $50 off your first bag of salt. Now, everybody, please welcome to the DTFH, Shane Stott. Shane, welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. I just want to say that you have now become one of the great life changers that I've encountered because of this float tank that you brought over to my house.
Dude, I'm so glad you're loving it. I'm so glad you're loving it.
Before we get going with this chat, I just want to say for everybody listening, full disclosure, Shane has sponsored me. So I guess you could listen to this, and if you're a cynical asshole, think that this is some kind of long commercial. Just know that even if I wasn't sponsored by Shane, I would still be raving about this thing because it is definitely the coolest thing that I have right now. So I just want you guys to know that this is not a commercial. I'm not doing this to try to promote a product. I'm doing this because I have a float tank now, and I've been getting into it with some frequency, and it is blowing my mind. And anything that blows my mind, I end up talking about on this podcast. Sorry about that awkwardness, Shane.
Can I give a disclosure too?
Yes, please.
We set up your tank like a month ago, and you were all about, interested in ripping the tank, and if you liked it, you wanted to push it, but then you held off everything because you wanted to test it for yourself for a long time. So I think your listeners should know that.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I didn't want to. Yes, exactly. So I've had this thing for a month. I mean, I don't know how much I've talked about it on the podcast, probably a little bit, but I definitely have been holding off raving about how incredible the thing has been in the small chance that it would explode or it wouldn't work or some part would break down or whatever. And none of that has happened. It is just this insane portal into nothingness that is now sitting in my house. And so there we go. Now, Shane, my first question for you, now that I've been in this thing for a month, is what is your theory about what is happening when a person enters a float tank and lays in there for an extended period of time?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, I think so much of your body and your mind, your mental power goes to just monitoring everything around you. So it's like you're this computer and you have all these apps open. One app is your vision, one app is sight, one app is sound, one app is all these things. And when you get in a float tank, it's almost like you're this computer that can then close down all the apps and run at a faster, better speed. I feel like your thought's better. If you're meditating, it's deeper, it's less interrupted. It's really powerful. And then I also feel like when you're in there for that extended period of time, your body shuts down. Have you noticed that you can, if it's almost like your body starts to physically go to sleep, but your mind kind of stays alive.
Yes.
I think it's a really powerful place to be. I don't think humans have ever had anything like that. And it's just a crazy environment for just more powerful thinking and easier ways to get out and meditate. And it's just really powerful.
It's, and I think that's an understatement. And I, you know, when you, I'm sure you guys have heard people raving about float tanks. Maybe some of you have actually been in one before, but it's indescribable.
Yeah.
The impact something like that, at least the impact it's been having on my life, because, you know, when I got it, when the initial thought is this is going to be a kind of novelty thing, like, you know, this will be cool, it'll be interesting, but I completely underestimated what it does to you. It, because it's not just what's happening in there. And after a little bit, I'm sure we both have had weird experiences in those things. It's can you talk a little bit about the couple of hours after you get out of one of those tanks?
Yeah, so for me, you get in and everything's turned off naturally, and you go to zero and your mind shuts down and everything is just, I don't know if you'd just say it's nothing, but when you get out, everything's like really enhanced because you haven't had any sense stimulus that whole time. And you get out and the sounds and music is crisper and brighter and your vision, everything seems more alive and beautiful, and it's just like you've turned it off, and then when you open it back up, your senses are more heightened. It's pretty transformative, and it's like a lot of the benefit comes outside of the tank, and in fact, most of the benefit comes because when you get that flow habit going, which you've probably gotten now that you've had the tank for a month, your life starts to transform a bit. And it sounds cheesy, but you just come from a more calm, relaxed place, and then everything in your life kind of takes a more calm, relaxed tone around you. And I could swear to God, it transforms reality around you when you're out of the tank. If that's is that too much? It feels cheesy, but that's real.
No, it's not too much at all, man. It's, I mean, that's the, this thing is like, you know, I have, so at, since I've been floating, I've been getting into the writings of John Lilly, who was the guy who came up with a float tank. And that's a really curious story. How familiar are you with that guy's story?
A little bit. I'm familiar that. I mean, I just wrote a book, and I kind of recap what he did, how he started floating lightly. But when I've read some of his stuff, like he has a book, Programming and Metaprogramming, that was really hard for me. He stretches the mind, and even when I was reading, I was like, man, this is hard for me to grasp. But he's got some really good stuff too. It's just, man, it's out there. It's crazy.
But you do you remember the history of how he came up with it, like putting ocean water in the thing at first, and you know about this?
Yes. So this is crazy. The research I did for the book. So I don't know if you're familiar with Glenn Lee.
I'm
He was
not.
one. He is. He's one of the. He founded the Samadhi Float Company,
Okay, gotcha.
and he worked with John Lilly back. So John Lilly built a tank in the ocean. That was the first place he built it, and it was in like the shallow part of the ocean, like on a beach. So the water would come in and out, and he could crap, he could urinate, he could use the tank, and he could float in the salt water. With, it's total pitch black and as quiet as he could make it.
So
And that was his.
this was like he had what was it, like a box with a
Yeah.
inflow and in it, like how was he dealing with waves coming in, or how was he dealing with?
I don't totally get it. And I know the first float tank was like it was vertical, and they would put a chamber over your head to feed oxygen.
Okay, I
And
gotcha.
then he went to a laying down in the ocean. But what people don't realize is, so this guy Glenn Lee, who started the Samadhi Float Company, when he found out that John was floating in ocean water, he's like, well, why don't we add so much salt that, you float even easier? And Glenn's the person who took the salt from ocean level to 100% saturation, which is tons of freaking salt. So a lot of people don't realize that that was one of the big leaps in floating and the float industry, and it was made by a guy named Glenn Lee, the Samadhi Float Company.
And I think a lot of people don't even realize there's a history behind floating. It's just something you've heard. For me, it was just something, you know, something you hear about. Like, there are these tanks that you can go into, and they're called, you know, I used to call them isolation tanks.
Yeah, that's what they, that was the what everyone called them not so long ago.
But that has shifted, right? No one's calling them that anymore.
Yeah, isolation and sensory deprivation kind of had a taboo, and so the whole industry started to just kind of gravitate towards floating. Like, my first website was Isolation Tank Plans, but now the word is floating because it's so approachable and friendly, and it's just more comfortable.
But
you know?
I think it's more descriptive, because the term isolation tank kind of implies, I don't know, like solitary confinement or one of those sheds that they put prisoners in and prison movies, or
it kind of feels negative.
Yeah, it feels, but it also doesn't feel like what it is, because you're, it's not like your senses are being cut off when you're in that thing at all. There's, your senses are, seem to be being enhanced in some way, and it's very hard to explain.
It is hard to explain. But it's almost like you've used your senses in the same way for however old you are. So for me, you know, 32 years, and it's like now you're all of a sudden using your senses to feel nothing, but you actually feel like your blood pulsing through your body, or you feel the like the chills, or you feel your mind. You just pick up all these different things. I wish I could explain it better. Well, but the senses are happening just in a different way.
But you so. To get back to this strange, there's this strange thing happened in our history, which is that a guy, John Lilly, got into his head that he should float in darkness and that there would be something beneficial in that practice. And I don't know what inspired him initially. Do you know what inspired him initially to build that thing?
I don't. Was it a neuroscientist, a brain researcher, and he was trying
to
study.
He's a programmer.
Originally he's a programmer.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to study the effects of no stimulus input on the brain. And he was even trying to communicate with dolphins. He had made connections with other beings from other realms or planets. And
right. Now
he was into it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's it. I mean, the contact with, so I think most people are not aware of the fact that the creator of the flotation tank thought that he was in direct communication with extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
And I don't think people know that, and it's something people definitely should know, because it feels, when you're in that thing, like you could definitely use it if you wanted to make contact with something. Have you had the experience when you're in those tanks of a presence being in there with you?
For me, I would say it feels like I'm super connected and alive, and that there's energy in there with me. But I've never felt like, you know, there's some being like a person.
Well, no, but not a person. Like, okay, so have you smoked dimethyltryptamine before?
No, DMT?
Yes.
No, I'm so interested in that one, though. After watching that Joe Rogan documentary, I was like, holy shit.
Well, DMT, for me, and also mushrooms, produces in high enough doses a feeling that I'm being communicated with by some kind of higher intelligence. And the communication doesn't come in the form of schizophrenic style voices in the head, though I have heard voices in my head once on mushrooms, maybe twice, a very long time ago.
Me too.
But it's more of a kind of compulsion or a sense of something deeper than your thoughts guiding you. It's a feeling of being led into certain epiphanies by a kind of force that seems to, for whatever reason, want to remain anonymous as it's doing this kind of teaching. So I've talked to people who have said, well, the tank will teach you, is what they say. The tank teaches you. John Lilly thought he was communicating with beings from space. And you say it's an energetic thing, but it seems like there's a kind of overwhelming sense that people have when they go into these tanks that they are making contact with something greater than them.
Dude, you want to know what it feels like for me? It feels like do you ever think or feel something and your whole body just comes overwhelmed with like a chill scent, like the
yes.
chills and your hairs stand up?
Yes.
For me, it's like that sweeps over my body and I feel like I'm connected to the universe. Like the universe loves me, whatever the hell the universe is for anyone. It's something out there is like looking out for me and loving me. And I feel this feeling sweep over my body and it physically, it's sensory and the hairs stand up and it feels good. And that's the closest I've gotten to anything like that. In the tank.
Well, that's it. It's just a different version of the same thing. And it all goes back to how mysterious it is and how strange that for whatever reason, floating in water that's been heated to 93.5 degrees in darkness produces a mystical effect. I've been reading this great book by Huxley. You guys should check it out. I'm sure a lot of you have read it already, called The Perennial Philosophy. Have you ever heard of this book, Shane?
No.
So this is really good. It's just a book about where the world religions, like the ideas that seem to repeat in all the world religions, all the mystical traditions. And one of the ideas is the concept that the self, as we understand it, is in some way getting in the way of communing with the universe.
Sorry to interrupt.
Please,
you.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I totally feel that way. Like, I feel like what's happening in a tank is always happening to you, but you're so distracted and caught up in your own little human ego scenarios and what everything means and all the thoughts and all the figuring. But I feel like that it's always channeling towards you. It's only because you get in the tank that you access it. It's like you get in that radio, you know, it's like a radio amplifier. It's what it feels like to me. It feels like the communication's always there, but my bullshit's in the way.
Right. There you go. Okay, so it's like, so the tank is kind of functioning as a filtration mechanism that is, if you're in there long enough, and it definitely seems like you need to be in there for over an hour to me. Like, if I'm not, it seems like the things start getting interesting right around the second hour in the tank.
That was one of my big mistakes, is I floated so much under an hour, and I used to float before work and I'd do like 30, 45. And then it was even not so long ago, I started getting in over an hour and I was like, oh, I've been missing out. Cause there is your body, there's like a gear shift as you go longer. So anyone floating, I'd recommend going more than an hour.
No, it's to me, it's two. It's like an hour. You go in for an hour and it's a bath. You go in for an hour and a half and it's like deep, deep relaxation. And for me, hour two, that's when I start seeing some weird fucking shit in there, man. Like, so far I've been, it's like, I don't know what it is. A lot of it I imagine is stuff that's already been seeded into my mind by reading all this other stuff or listening to people talk about it. I don't know what it is, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, and God forgive me, universe and people listening, because now I'm the goddamn burnout talking about seeing aliens in his float tank. But I'm not kidding, man. Like, I've had a few crazy things happen to me in there so far.
Dude, I want to hear.
Well, one of them is real quick. Glimpses, and again, what's happening in there, you guys, if you've never floated before, is you seem to be going into that place right before you fall asleep. Like, you're sort of in this liminal place between waking and sleeping. Your body's super relaxed, and any of you know that when you're laying in bed right when you're about to go to sleep, you start having some pretty weird thoughts and dream states, but you're not quite asleep. So I'm fully willing to write all of this off as some kind of subconscious symbols or something floating up to the surface because I'm about to fall asleep. or at least the skeptical side of me will do that. The unskeptical side of me thinks that it's a goddamn antenna or something for well, no, because it's like you're so here's the thing. And I'm sure you guys have heard, if you've ever listened to Rogan or Terrence McKenna or any psychonaut out there, me, then you've heard the truth, which is that we are all in space right now. There's no way around that. We're in space. And there's an illusion around us right now that we're not in space because we're surrounded by the atmosphere of the planet that we're currently stuck on because of a gravity well as that's the result of the mass of the Earth pushing down into the time-space continuum. It keeps us all stuck to the planet. But we're in space. If you get rid of the planet and the atmosphere right now, if I could make it vanish in the last few milliseconds before you were ripped apart or died in the vacuum of space, you would realize that you're, you know, in space. You're in space. Literally, there's no way around the fact that we are in fucking space, right? So yeah. When you get into a float tank, what's happening is you're weightless and you've been given the sense of a reprieve from the effects of being stuck in a gravity well. And you've been given a reprieve from photons blasting in your eyeballs. And you've been given a reprieve from all the illusions that happen when you're on a planet where there's an atmosphere. And now you're in blackness. You're floating in blackness, right? You're in dark. You're in blackness. So you are now in space. And this is where it gets into Timothy Leary's idea of the fact that human beings are meant to colonize space, that there's some dormant aspect of our DNA that's waiting to be activated by weightlessness, that in the same way that a pig, when it escapes from a farm and gets into the woods, it begins to transform into a boar.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Those cute little pink pigs, man, you let them run around in the wild and they grow tusks and turn dark colored and get fierce and big. It just activates something. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I thought it was like a breed thing. That's crazy.
And Tim Leary talked about a similar kind of thing in humans. The idea that there's a dormant part of our DNA that the moment we start encountering weightlessness will begin to be activated. And it's like a different circuit of consciousness is what he called it. So based on those concepts, or based on the idea that we're actually in space, that we're meant to be interstellar travelers, you could say that when you get into a float tank and experience weightlessness mixed in with the darkness, you start activating dormant parts of your DNA and begin to experience these heightened states of consciousness that are waiting for us once we finally manage to colonize other planets or move into interstellar travel. You know, obviously, it's all bullshit hippie theorizing. I don't fucking know, man. But when I've been in that tank, I have had a few times... God, man, it's so embarrassing saying this, but it's a podcast, and I always have told the truth, even if it makes me seem like a complete lunatic. I've had several flashes of those fucking gray alien things, man. But like, they're like wearing robes, and like they seem to be like peering up into like the stars, like they're looking at the stars. They're not really paying attention to me. It's not like they're there. It's not like they're aware of me. I've seen that. I've seen some pretty quick, vivid flashes of beautiful, like interstellar views. Like suddenly it'll seem like there's stars inside the thing. And then the most insane thing that happened recently, the one that got me, like it was so intense that I like came out of the float tank and went stammering to my girlfriend, like, I can't, Jesus, you gotta say, this is fucking happened. I can't really. But it's so weird, man. You guys, I almost thought I'm not gonna talk about this shit. Cause it
no, you got to.
And P.S., let me just say, you guys, this is not on drugs. Like, I'm not taking anything in there. Like, except maybe a little marijuana, but I've noticed that it's better when I'm not high. There's more of an effect when I'm not stoned than when I am stoned, which is really has been a real shocker for me. But the weird one was, I almost don't want to talk.
You have to.
I saw big. I saw Bigfoot in there, man.
Shut up.
Okay. No. I was laying there, and like I reached down underneath me, and I just felt this hairy thing, this mass. It was a Bigfoot, and we made love in the tank.
Oh wow!
So that's no, impressive. What happened was, I'm laying there. And obviously, you're laying there. I'm laying there. And there's a sense of a presence, man. God, I'm going to sound like such a fruit. I don't sound like a fruit all the fucking time. Who do I think I am? Anyway, I had the sense of a presence, the very same feeling of a presence I get on DMT or mushrooms. No substances in my body outside of the massive amount of marijuana that's always in there, just based on residual stoner effects. I hadn't gotten high that day. I'm floating in there, sense of a presence and a feeling of something being in there. And the God, I'm really diving into the ocean of crystals right now, you guys. Just know I'm fully willing to say this is my subconscious. I'm willing to say this is placebo. I'm willing to say it's a projection. I don't make any claim that this is some external spirit or something. But damned if there wasn't this feeling that the thing was telling me its name was Michael. And
what?
Yeah, but it wasn't talking. It was just like, that's the sense. It's like, it seemed kind of excited that I was aware of it. Yeah. And then it was like pointing out this like energy block at my heart chakra, and it was like compelling me to breathe into that place. It was sort of like, watch what happens when you just breathe into that. So I start breathing into it, and it felt like my body was getting stretched apart or something. Like I started expanding, and it was just too much. And that's when I sat up and was like, what the fuck? And got out of the tank. It was like, that really happened to me, man. And you know, maybe it was a dream, maybe it was, I don't know what it was, but god damn it, it was one of the more intense psychedelic moments of my life.
And that was sober in a tank,
sober cold, stone cold sober in that son of a bitch.
So this Michael, this is an unknown Michael, or did you know a Michael or something?
Well, I know plenty of Michaels, but yeah, this is, I mean, it wasn't saying like, my name's Michael, let me heal you. It's like just yeah, this feeling of like a sense of a being, a presence, a force, a thing. I don't know what it is, man, but it definitely happened. And as someone who, as my job, reports my experience to the world, I gotta say it definitely fucking happened. Hasn't happened since.
My theory is it's Michael Jackson. That's what I'm thinking.
I hope not. That would suck.
You were naked in the tank, right?
Shut up. That would suck so bad. If you just like, you finally get your flow tank. You're excited because you've heard all these weirdos talk about the crazy shit that happens in them. And all that happens is you just see Michael Jackson. just floating there in front of you. Just dancing, smiling. That would be, I would, you know what, man?
You would refund your money if that's how it goes.
You would refund the money if people buy the tank and they see Michael Jackson in the tank?
Yeah, send proof, whatever. Like a recording or something, man.
Here's what's interesting. You're a float tank manufacturer. You're mm-hmm. someone who believes in the experience so much that you actually, prior to starting your business, you were building tanks on your own.
Yeah.
But you seem to have a more grounded experience in those things.
Totally. What's weird is like the majority of the benefit and the reason I float is like, it's the relaxation and it's the calm life. And it's, for me, it was panic and anxiety. But I just hearing you talk and when I hear like Joe Rogan and these people go on these crazy adventures in the tank, and I've just dabbled in those adventures. It makes me want to go for something deeper, and it makes me wonder if I need substances to get deeper.
No, I don't think so, man. You know, I was actually reading John Lilly, and he was saying that because this experience, it's weird. He's kind of mysterious about it. He's like, I don't even want to tell you what's really going to happen in there. But he seemed to say, at least for the first year or so, or 6 months, don't do any substances. Just get used to how to float. Can you talk a little bit about that? I don't think people are aware of the fact that floating is not something that the first time you get in there, it's not, you have to learn to float. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, people usually get in a tank and one of the first problems people have is they're like, well, what the fuck do I do with my arms? And they're putting them up or down or folding them on their chest. And they're all weirded out. And then the next thing you always hear is, my head sinks. My head's too low, or like their body keeps tense, and they every 10 minutes they go, oh, what the hell? You know, I'm like flexed. My muscles are flexed. I'm holding my head a certain way.
Right.
But there's this after you float 2-3 times, you learn to just let trust the water, I guess is what you would call it. But once you trust the water and you believe that you get enough air and you believe that you're not going to fall asleep and turn over, then everything starts to really get good because you're just truly relaxed and trusting. Just like you're, I don't know, in the womb or something. But in the beginning, you're all concerned, and it's so weird. And you're, at least for me in the beginning, I felt like I was spinning, or I felt like I was flipping upside down, and you're just sitting there totally still. But your brain's grasping for any sort of like orientation. It takes a little bit of practice. We always tell people when they want to try floating, to float 3 times. It's the third time where you're pretty much going to settle in very well, you know, and enjoy it.
Or more than, it took me longer than that, really. Like but every time that you go in, you get better. It's so strange to think that you can get better at laying down in water, because it seems like you would just naturally be able to do it. But it's a skill. Like, you start learning how to do it.
Totally a skill. I was just talking about this with Tom Wunk. He runs the Floatcast. But he was saying how now, like, you get used to hopping in a tank and floating, and you can hop in and get to where you like that state of float much quicker. But it's like riding a bike; like, you got to learn how to do it.
Yeah,
it's almost like, for me, it's learning to trust. Just let go, trust, everything's fine, and then you let your brain turn off.
Right, and that is a weird thing, because there's another problem with it, which is that the moment you do start getting into that state, whatever it is,
you freak out. Yeah, dude, it's like that comfort, and then your body goes, holy shit!
Yes!
And then you're out of it, and you're like, damn it, and then you have to work to get back, and then for me, I'm that holy shit guy for sure, because like, anxiety is this prone, I'm like prone to always checking my status of just how I'm doing, and so like, my body will let go in that water environment, dark, and my body's like, wait a second, are you safe?
It's, like, oh. Isn't it weird, man?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Because when you remember when you were learning how to swim and there was like a certain distance from the edge of the swimming pool that you were willing to go before you were, I don't know if your swimming experience, but you were always like aware of how far even if you go out in the ocean and you swim really far out, you're always aware of where the shore is, because you don't want to get so far that you can't see the shore. That's way too far out, right? You get scared and you want to swim back towards the shore. Well, in the same way, it's like the float tank puts you in a situation where it's not a shore that you're acutely aware of, but it's your personality or your sense of self. And when you get into this, like, whatever it is, theta state, I've heard it called, or whatever it is, then suddenly you are sort of expanding out past your identity. And if you start having these weird moments of pure relief, I mean, come on, man. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, the identity, your sense of self, it's almost like the universe is having a fucking muscle cramp or something, and it's manifesting as your sense of self. Do you know what I'm saying?
I just feel like self is always in my way. It's the reason I'm not like more – it's the reason life isn't more like floating for me and that's peaceful and calm and relaxing, because I've got a story that I'm like – it's almost like I'm living a story, and I've got bullshit and I've got relationships and I've got everything that gets in the way. For me, it's the self gets in the way.
Yes.
It's a big story that I have, or this big person that I've become, or who am I? What's my story again? What am I doing? Who am I? It's all in the way.
It's in the way of what?
For me, it's like – it's in the way of – so it's like I'm always pursuing as a self, right? me as a person, I'm always pursuing and want to achieve and become and have these things and the relationship and get everything just right. It's a state of pursuit where, like, in a flow, I'm not pursuing anything. But the self is a constant state of pursuit for me. And I don't know if that's like a mental disorder for me or what, but I'm always in pursuit.
I don't think it's a mental disorder. I mean, I think it's a mental disorder called being a human. I don't think it's a mental disorder in the sense of like a mental illness, though. You know, I just read actually that 1 in 4 people will have some form of mental illness in their life. So if it was, it wouldn't be that big a deal. It's just a stigmatized thing. But the tank is something that shows you just how much your attachment to your identity gets in the way of some other state of being. And that's where it's a teacher, I think. That's how it's a teacher, because you do get these flashes, and for me they're really quick flashes of this is it. Like, I'm not here. For a second I wasn't there. Like, I don't know what I was, but I wasn't there. But by the mm-hmm. time you're realizing you weren't there, you're there again.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's hard to fully put into words, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to put into words unless you want to start saying crazy shit. Like John Lilly, one thing that he said in the book that I was reading, and you guys can, I think it's on Kindle, and it's pretty, it's like $5 or something. It's a real short, you read it in like an hour. It's called Tanks for the Memories. Did you read this one?
I feel like I might own it, but I don't know if I've ever read it.
Well, it's pretty crazy, man. Like, you really see just how fucking nuts John Lilly was. And I mean that in the same way that anyone that I love is nuts. Like, he was really smart. He seemed incredibly charismatic. And one of the things he said that really freaked me out is that when you go into the tank and shut the tank door and lay in there for some given amount of time, when you emerge from the tank, you are emerging in a completely different universe.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't explain it exactly that way, but I mean, I feel like my reality changes, as weird as that is.
Yeah, and he's like, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I'm like a believer that your inner state goes out into the world and reflects back to you. So if I'm all fucked up and anxious, then the whole world's anxious and the whole world's a panic situation and the environment sucks. Or you just get out of flow, everything's calm and peaceful, and then all these things happen and life is calm and peaceful. Even the same situation that if you're an anxious mind would have felt anxious. I just feel like the whole thing is a reflection of your inner state. If that makes sense. So.
Man, and you're absolutely right. And another thing Lily said is that you can go into these tanks with some kind of question, an intention, and that there will, an answer might come to you when you're laying in there. Now, before we get into that, I'm sure everyone is aware, and I'm sure you've heard of that people have more epiphanies in the shower. Have you heard this?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So it's like something about this contact with water, maybe, is energizing some part of the mind to produce these epiphanies. But I had to go do stand-up and at the Comedy Store on Saturday night, and I wasn't really looking forward to it. I was kind of like, you know, resisting the fact that I had to go perform just because I didn't want to drive there, and just all like bad, wrong thinking. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go in the fucking tank before my set, and I'm going to go in there with the intention of trying to figure out why I feel bummed about going to perform tonight, when generally I on and off, most of the time, hopefully, the best sets happen when you're looking forward to it, you know? The best comedy, the best anything happens when you're not resisting and you dive right in. So I go into this tank, and I'm laying there thinking about this stuff, and all of a sudden, all these like jokes that I had forgotten that I'd written started coming to me, and then like these pieces of a bit that I'm working on started fitting together, and I went and had a great fucking set, all because of the goddamn tank, and just because of somehow like it cut through all the resistance, centered me, and put me in a place where I was able to perform. Man, that's amazing that happens.
It is amazing. I do the same thing with like, do you ever, so for me, I'll go to bed and I'll be like, while I'm sleeping tonight, I'm going to wake up with, my answer. And I just try and give like an expectation to my subconscious. And I feel like the same thing is within a tank. So if you're working on an issue, you just go, I'm going to figure this out, in the tank, and you get in and let it happen. But I believe in the subconscious, whether or not it's in a tank, programming yourself to figure it out. It's a powerful tool people should use.
Right. And so it's really interesting to me, man. It's so cool that it's so funny. It's really funny. You make float tanks. You must hear people tell you these stories all the time, right? Or am I the only lunatic who's reporting this stuff to you?
No, that's actually the main reason people float is spiritual exploration. And I feel like the industry is starting to gather all the people who are floating for, pain, stress, athletics, anxiety, these different things. So, but the stories and the reason people float right now, the current state of the industry is spiritual exploration, and it's stuff like this. This is it.
Right. It's got to be, man. I mean, I by the way, like I like working out and going and laying in the water too. That feels really great. But yeah, for me it's 100% some kind of alchemical tool. And it's in it and it seems that what's weird about it is it just came into existence. Like are there any in history, are there any historic have people done this in the past in some different form? Are you aware of any other precedent where people have been floating in darkness like this?
The only other thing I've heard of, and you might have told me about it, was like there's these people that used to go in caves for a long amount of time, and I have not read up on it. But someone recently I was in conversation, and they're like, "You got to check it out." There's these people used to go in pitch black caves for long amounts of time, and it would have some crazy spiritual exploration. That's the only other thing I've heard of that's even similar.
That's what's weird about it is it's these things have only existed for when did the first tank, when did Samadhi tanks hit the market? When did that happen?
Let me look. I'm holding the book right now.
Probably like early 70s or something, right? Was
Yeah. Maybe a touch longer. I need to know this off the top of my head anyway.
No,
But
you
yeah,
don't.
that's good. Oh, 54.
Jesus, so 54. Okay, so 1954, these things come into existence, and they've only been around for this tiny little window of human history, and somehow people just most people are aware of them. They don't really think about it a lot. And there's, as far as I'm aware, how much research has been put into what's going on in these tanks?
I mean, there's been a good amount, but not huge numbers of people, like not these huge sample sizes. But what's crazy is there's a guy named Justin Feinstein, and I talk about him in the book, but he has a whole level of a hospital that is dedicated to float research. It's like the first time any sort of big time funding and studying has been done. So he has access to people in the hospital battling like mental illness and that sort of thing to do all out big sample studies of floating. So it's coming. And I know it's going to get embraced by the healthcare industry and that sort of thing with all the PTSD and anxiety relief. So, I mean, it's new. So to answer your question, some's been done, but not near enough. But it's happening right now.
So what is his theory? Has he done, has anyone done, I don't know how you could possibly do an MRI and those things, but has anyone studied what's happening with
Yeah. A lot of the original researchers, they were called rest researchers, and rest stood for restricted environmental stimulus therapy or technique. But the guys used to, I don't know if you've seen a picture, but guys, they would cut holes out of their float tank and they would stick their arm out and they would float and they would measure their blood pressure and their, I think it was just blood pressure and something else, like stress cortisol levels.
See, that's curious to me, because it seems like that's going to completely
Mess it
take
up.
away from the experience if you got your arm sticking out of your tank.
Yeah, you should just Google images. It's kind of funny, but that's what they originally did. But now with technology, we could just strap stuff to people, and they could go in and get so much data. I just feel like it's going to be easy at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's just so weird to me that it isn't something that's more, it's something that's definitely on the fringe. Like, I feel like a fucking weirdo. I've got this float tank sitting in my house. It's weird. It's really weird, man. And it's, what else is weird is now when I get in the room where the float tank is, my body has an automatic reaction to it. Like, really? I get this weird, like...
it's like a trigger.
Butterfly feeling. Like, whoa, are you going to go in there again? I don't know, man. Shit, yeah, let's do it. And it's like a... It's interesting. Yeah, it's a very, very powerful thing.
So wait... Your relation to your float tank, is it right now, is it all positive, or has it got a bit of like a fear? Or
what's 100% positive. I mean, if there's a fear, it's just the same fear I get when I find myself shoving mushrooms in my mouth. It's like a, it's not like a negative fear. It's just the, it's not even a fear. It's just
it's
more
just
of
anticipation.
A, anticipate. And some, you know what, man, some, what's really interesting about it, and I haven't cracked the code, I don't know why. Sometimes when I get in there, not a single fucking thing happens at all. I'm just floating in the water. It feels good. I get out and that's it. I dry off and nothing, you know, brighter colors. Every single, for sure, every single time that I get out, colors are brighter. My Everything. Senses are more keyed in. And yeah. That lasts for about 3 or 4 hours. I've also noticed my sleep is better if I float.
Oh, dude, sleep is like across the board. Everyone sleeps better when they float.
Which is so weird. This is why it's just such a mystery, man. People really need to be studying this more because there are so many parallels with psychedelics. Like if I have a good mushroom trip after, you know, 6 hours of either laughing really hard or being attacked by elves, I'm gonna feel great. Like colors are brighter. I'm gonna feel happier. I'm gonna feel more open. I'm gonna feel cleansed, purified, and it's awesome. But this, there's a very similar effect when I get out of that tank, minus the demon attack. And so that's something that I would be curious to find out. What is that? Like, it's not enough just to say, well, it's because you couldn't see for a little while, or it's because you were weightless. It's like, what the fuck is happening that when you step out of that thing, colors are brighter, things are more beautiful? God damn. Getting out of that, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry if this seems like a sales home shopping network thing. I swear to God, I'd be raving about this no matter what. But like getting out of the tank and then walking my dogs, for example. And it's just this beautiful, the day is beautiful. You realize what a beautiful day. What an amazingly beautiful world we're in right now. It's so strange that it somehow peels back the callus that seems to grow over our perceptual mechanisms if we don't have moments of stillness.
Totally. It's like your body's constantly building a tolerance to your life, and you get in there and your body lets the tolerance go because it's just not needed. There's nothing to tolerate, and then you get back out and it's all fresh again.
Yeah, it's something like that, man. But look, I gotta say, I know that you, based on, maybe it's because you're running a float company. And you're not, who knows, maybe you actually have been contacted by the aliens and they told you not to talk about it.
That's but, part of the deal.
But man, it's so weird to me. It's so strange that you are like, you've become like one of the main people in the float industry. Like you're the first person to build float tanks that people can afford. You know, or consumer based float tanks where it does, like a Samadhi tank's like $10,000, right?
12, yeah.
Worth it, I'd say. I mean, I think it's like, man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to go on and on like with that kind of shit. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. Again, I don't want to turn people off. I seem like I'm trying to sell tanks for you, even though you've sponsored me by trading one of these. But this is not a commercial. This is just me wanting to talk about how badass floating is. But I want to tell you another thing that I figured out that I haven't tried yet, but will definitely work. Do you know about cardboard? Google Cardboard?
No.
So Google Cardboard is. Basically they created this like full, you can like create your own VR goggles just with cardboard. They created.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right. So your phone slides into this, right?
Uh-huh.
Now I know this is something we talked about before, but I'm now 100% certain because I have cardboard. I just haven't done it yet. I have an old iPhone, but you can go like, you can now download VR experiences for your iPhone and mix it in with Google Cardboard and get a not bad VR experience. Did you know about this?
I've seen the cardboard version. Are you thinking about going in the tank with it?
100%. Yeah, because the problem with like the main VR goggles is that they have wires attached to them. The big ones, the Oculus, obviously, Valve's prototype. I think most of them have wires attached to them. And also, you know, they have gears as shit in there that you could fuck up with water. But if you have an old phone, as most people do, like if you have an old iPhone, I haven't tried this yet. I should have tried it and then let you know what happens. But if you have an old iPhone and some cardboard, you can print out the, or you can order actually pre-built cardboard. You could slide your phone in and you could go into a float tank without damaging your phone, just because you're floating on your back. Like it's not, and the water is not going to go up over your eyes. Like it's going to stick out and you're not going to damage anything. So you could definitely experience virtual reality in a float tank. God damn it. I'm going to do it after today. I'm doing it. I want to be one of the first people to, as far as I'm aware, I might be the first person to do VR in a float tank.
I think so, dude. You should post it. Seriously. I don't think anyone's done it.
Well, it's going. There is an amazing vector between floating and VR that somebody out there, whoever out there is listening, any kind of tech people out there, would make it happen. Create a floating experience, and I will test it out for you and talk about it. But it's going to be like it's something that can mix really well together, I think, just because, especially any kind of VR that involves space, floating in space. That
I was just thinking about that. Like, what kind of app would you want? What would you want to do with no gravity and no nothing? Probably flying through space.
Or floating over. Because a weird thing will happen for me when I'm laying there, where instead of feeling like I'm laying on my back, it'll feel like I'm floating above something looking down. So any kind of, like, flying over a city, any kind of thing that makes it appear that the ground is above you, that would work too, because you're weightless, so there really isn't an up or down, you know. Yeah. So anything like that would totally work too. And then anything to do with sound, anything that you can control by moving your head, anything that involves, like, if you, where you're looking is where you go, so that you only have to do very slight head movements, that would work too.
It'd be way cool.
Way cool. So
dude, you gotta try it and let me know.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it. I'll try it. I'll try it right now after we finish this interview. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about where you see the floating industry going. Like, what direction is this going in? It seems like there's like a float renaissance happening. What do you think is going to happen with this strange industry?
Let me just talk through it and see if I can figure it out with you. So like 2 years ago, I was at the float conference, my first one. And there was like 200 something people, and there was a handful of manufacturers. And then that was 2 years ago. Okay, and then last year I went, and there was way more people, and then there was way more manufacturers. And all these float tank manufacturers, some, like, there was a handful that didn't even look like they had ever floated before.
Huh.
So it's growing, and like the cash people are, you know, people are coming in to make a good business out of it, right? And that's fine. That's just how humans work, whatever. But it's growing huge. My thing is, like, if they can get the science behind it, which I know people are working on, like guys like Justin Feinstein, if they can get the science behind it, and then it will get embraced by mainstream and get embraced by healthcare, and then you've got this giant therapy, just like acupuncture or massage. It becomes one of these giant holistic therapies that is just a staple, or yoga. But it's not quite as easy. It's not quite as easy as those other therapies, because naturally you have to have this big tank filled with water. But I don't know. I couldn't see this being a fad, because it's too beneficial for too many people. So I don't see it being like, I don't know, what's a health fad that came and gone?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Hold on, let's think of a good health fad that came and went. There's so many. Well, like that vibrating thing. Remember that weird vibrating machine?
The shake machine, like from the 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if this is just a giant water-filled shake machine? I don't think it is.
This is not a fucking water-filled shake machine, man. I know that you have to probably, or maybe I'm just a crazy stoner. I'm lucky because I'm a comedian. I get to say whatever I want. And maybe because you're running a business, you don't get to say so much, or maybe you just haven't had these experiences. This is not a fucking shake machine. This is an interdimensional portal that psychonauts should have as a requirement in their house. Because I haven't done it yet, man. But just the fact that sitting here is a hole in the universe that I could climb into under the effect of any psychedelic I want without having to worry about driving home, and I can stay in there for as long as I want, fills me with such a sense of excitement and dread. I can't even describe it because I know I'm going to do it one day. I know one day I'm going to eat a bunch of mushrooms. I'm going to climb in that fucking tank, and I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm terrified.
If you need someone to like sit outside the tank and like make sure you're okay, I'll be there for you, man.
Don't worry. I have interdimensional beings floating around me at all times, so don't worry about that. I'm apparently like I have some kind of thing called Michael that's nearby all the time. Dude, I'm telling you, man, if I keep going in that thing, I'm on a direct course with starting my own drum circle and renaming myself Apache.
That's so funny. I don't know why, but so when I originally started floating, it was panic and anxiety, right?
Yes.
And it was meditation for these really daily functional, like I need to live and not kill myself, so right. Floating helps. And then after I kind of got the hang of it and enjoyed it, then it was like I was all hung up on, you know, having these big, giant spiritual voyages. And they would happen sporadically, but the real benefit came regularly as the calm relaxation, no anxiety, no panic, life is good. But as you talk, it's like I've almost lost some of that spiritual voyager. It's weird. I mean, you make me want to go back because – even this book that I recently wrote for Floating, it addresses all of the things that aren't even necessarily spiritual exploration. So I don't know if this is my place to spread it into that, you know, into these other benefits.
I think
or
it's your.
What?
I think it's good, man. Yeah, because look, no one's going to take this shit seriously if every single person who talks about it is like, there's angels in there, man. I'm telling you. It's like the Hubble telescope minus the telescope, bro. No insurance company wants to hear about some bathtub for stoners. I think that if I had to pick between witnessing some kind of extraterrestrial species gazing off into the void at the galaxies that exist around us at all time that we can't see because we're being blindfolded by our own optic nerve, or having a freedom from anxiety, I think I'm going to take freedom from anxiety, man. You know what I mean? I can watch Aliens anytime that I want just by turning on the TV. There's plenty of sci-fi movies out there. Maybe they exist, maybe they don't, but that ever-present, dreadful sense of not fitting in or feeling at peace in the universe is something I think that afflicts a lot of people. And if methods within the tank could be developed that help people overcome that, then I think that it could be an incredibly useful tool for people.
It was so big for me. But when I think about it, like let's say the car was invented by guys who love racing cars, because that's the most exciting, awesome, intense thing you can do in a car. But then, you know, this car is invented, might as well, you know, drive it to the store, might as well go camping, might as well make a different car that helps with whatever. So I'm wondering if it's like just taking this shape where fundamentally the spiritual exploration is why floating exists, and every book you read, that's kind of the main theme. But when you hear these stories, like one of the ladies who bought one of our float tanks during the Kickstarter, her name was Lynn Taylor. She has fibromyalgia, which is a pain disorder. And after 10 years of being on all these medications and just suffering, she floats. And within like 2 months, she's off all of her medications.
Wow.
I know. And then there's this ultra marathon runner who he runs 100 mile outdoor races. And he cuts his recovery time from 2 weeks to 1 week. And there's this guy who was in this firefight. He has PTSD. He was in the army. And he gets back, he's like a raging alcoholic, his life's a mess, and then he starts floating and he gets his life together and he speaks publicly was something he couldn't even dream of doing. It's like all these stories are like, all this in a tank, you know? But I thought the point was spiritual exploration, but that's really heading in this big, broad, mainstream place.
Well, yeah, and you know, man, one thing that I've noticed is that the more I can actually witness the part of myself that kind of wants to squeeze a goddamn spiritual experience out of everything. And, you know, like it's the same thing like when I meditate. The best moments of meditation for me have always been when I manage to not have anything that I'm trying to get out of it. When I, you know, when there isn't a reason for doing it or some intention or some lofty goal or I want to fucking channel an alien or I want to see the great Godhead that all things emerge from. But if you just get rid of all that stuff and just sit back and let go, that's where it all happens. And that's kind of a paradox.
I hate it, actually.
Yeah, me too. Because
you go in wanting, and wanting fucks it up.
Yeah, it's not weird, but that's the way it teaches you. Because that's the great metaphor, isn't it? It's like when you go into a thing, whatever it may be, with the desire to take something away, to grab something, or to get paid. You know what I mean? Like when you go into a thing and you want a paycheck, whatever that paycheck may be, whether the paycheck is like making out with some girl that you've had a crush on forever, or whether the paycheck is communing with angels, or whether the paycheck is whatever it may be, then it's almost like the thing will react, the universe reacts to you like a boss who, you know, paying an employee instead of a friendship level. But when you go into the thing in the same way that you go into like hanging out with your best friends, whatever the experience may be, like when I go to hang out with my friends, I'm not doing it for some reason, you know, like that fucks it all up. You know what I mean? Like if you're with your friends, you're like, all right, guys, let's really have fun today. It's going to suck. Like your friends are going to be like, what are you talking about? Weird. What? Like, yeah, come on, guys. We really need to do this, man. We haven't had a good time in a while. So
you're forcing it.
You're forcing it. And it's like with a podcast, it's the same fucking way. Like when you go into a podcast, you're like, all right, let's really make this one a blazer. those are not going to be great podcasts. And when you go into the tank, you know, it will show you right away, like, all right, when you're ready to stop trying to direct this experience, you can have what you want. But you know, that's so tricky, isn't it? Because it's like how do you get rid of the moment you stop wanting the thing, you're going to forget you ever wanted it anyway. So weird.
It's so weird.
Do you have any plans for making like higher level float tanks, or are you just going to keep making, like in other words, like do you ever think about, okay, here we have the tent version. Now we're going to build more high tech tanks. Do you ever think about that? Are you ever going to go?
Yeah, we're going to do something for sure. We want to make we're going to stay home float, you know, but we want to make ones that are easier to clean. Not that they're not that easy anyway. I mean, they're pretty easy to maintain, but we want to have one with a little more rigid of a design, so it looks just really solid. We want to have a little easier water cleaning. We want to have more. I personally love magnetics, so I would love for like the door and the pieces that come together all to be more magnetic.
What do you mean cleaning? Like I've been now, maybe I'm doing something wrong because it doesn't seem that hard to clean at all. I just put the strips in and add peroxide when it needs it.
It's pretty easy. Like one of the things the industry is going towards is ozone. But ozone, I used to clean my tank with ozone. It's just a little machine that injects like pure oxygen air bubbles into your water.
Yeah.
But it's even easier than like peroxide and any sort of additives. But the problem is with ozone is it off-gasses and you're not supposed to breathe it. So you don't want So what we have works, but there's a part of us that is still looking like, is there any way we could just have like an external ozonator where you just set it in the doorway and it totally cleans your water in like an hour, and then you just do it monthly or something? And
I don't know, man. I like maintaining the thing now. Like there's something in it that's ritualistic and fun. You like do all these you know,
strip. It kind of bonds you to it.
It's weird, but it's true, man. There's something, it's like you're lit. There, to me, as a 41-year-old stoner, there's something delightful about maintaining a rectangle filled with saline. I just like it. It's like fun. It activates the part of me that always wanted to figure out how to manufacture LSD, but knows I never will. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like this nice chemistry thing that you're doing once a week, where you're like, all right, let's check the levels in my tank, and it's fun. Yeah. I really like it. I wouldn't want to take that away. Actually, I don't think I would. You know, the only thing I could think that would be cool to add to the thing would be some kind of LED light that you could control from your phone. That'd be pretty badass. I've actually been thinking about sticking one in myself.
Yeah, it'd be nice where if like you wanted the light to come on, it could come on. And it'd be nice. We're working on an app too where, say you have like a bright idea in the tank, something where whenever you make noise, it just records it. So if you start talking, it records your great idea.
Well, I think all that stuff's already made for you, because it's already – most phones have a way to activate them when you talk to them. So what that means is that you need to have something that – basically, whatever it is, it should connect with your phone. That's the idea. It's an app, man. It's like some kind of app that you could control the tank from that already uses all the technology that's already there. Because most people have an Android phone or a Google –
yeah, it's already built.
It's already built. Yeah, it's like combining the technology with phones. Because, again, like it seems like the thing that is separating your tanks – from all the other tanks is that your tanks are drastically less expensive, and but because of that, they're missing some of the things that the super expensive tanks have. Like the one that I floated in Austin, that one, you know, it like lights slowly come up in it, and it's like it's great and it's badass, but that's a $30,000 tank.
Yeah, or like when you come to from your float to like music fading in. It's kind of cool. But the thing with music is underwater, you transmit music with a thing called like a transducer, right?
Yes.
And it turns a hard surface into a speaker. But with no hard surfaces in our tank, we've had a hell of a time creating a transducer. So right now we just have underwater headphones.
Oh, yeah. But, that's cool. Yeah. Underwater headphones is fine. I mean, all that, like, yeah, that's cool. But I wouldn't want to the thing about these things I like is they're lo-fi and they fucking work, and it's cool, man. It's like,
yeah,
it's like it works. Like, I don't know. The thing I was thinking as I was I've been floating in there is, if suddenly I had a shit ton of money, would I buy a really expensive float tank?
Go ahead.
You know, please go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I thought about that too. Like there's something about the experience of these crazy spaceship float tanks, you know, but then every time I really think about it, I'm like, ah, well, I'm just going for nothing, and this provides it. So it'd just be like a style statement or something. Like, hey, look at my amazing float tank.
It's a hippie status symbol. It's so funny. It's like a Burning Man status. Look at my fucking $40,000 tank.
Yeah,
but you know,
that
I get it.
Provides nothing.
That, well, I mean, I guess it's like, you know, some of these tanks, they have like, I don't think it provides nothing. It's going to provide like an HDTV in the roof of the ceiling of the thing. It pumps oxygen in. It's going to like, you know, it will provide stuff, but the question is, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want a super expensive float tank? Or do you want, I don't know, all the other things that $30,000 can buy? You know, I don't know, but I do. I don't think I would end up getting a really nice one.
Me neither. I think the float tent's too cool anyway. And like, as I'm using it, I'm always coming up with like, oh, the next thing, you know?
Right. You're such a fascinating entrepreneur, and the field that you're working in is so – it must be exciting to you. It must feel something like a pioneer, huh? Because you're sort of opening up a way for folks who don't have a shit ton of money and don't want to drive places to float can experience it.
It's so funny. It's like I started, you know, building the tank in my basement and selling the plans. And it was the same feeling then, only now it's like this crazy amplification where I'm actually providing float tanks that ship around the world, and people are getting the experience that way. So it's like this little seed feeling of building a tank in my basement just keeps growing, and it's turning into something bigger than I can even recognize. It's crazy.
I think it is bigger than you recognize. That's something to me that's interesting, is I don't think you're quite aware of just what you're giving people, which is kind of funny to me, because one of the more profound experiences I've ever had is having one of these things in my house, and you're giving that. You're giving people who normally would never be able to pull that off, either because of their living arrangements, you know, they don't have a room to put in a giant samadhi fucking tank, or because of their money, you're giving them a chance to like do it, which is pretty wild, man. You're really accidentally, or not so accidentally, you're really going to change a lot of people's POV from these things.
Oh yeah, and it was like going through the process of the book and the stories and the people, and then all the testimonials that we've gathered, you know, with Zen. It's like sometimes we sit back and we're like, holy shit, we're really changing lives. Like, it started as like, you know, we could do it, we could make these tanks, we could, you know, get some people able to float, but now it's like turning into like hundreds of people are changing their lives, and it's kind of freaking me out, to be honest.
Why is it freaking you out?
Just like am I doing it as good as it can be done, you know? Like, every day, it's like, that's how it feels. I guess it comes from a place of insecurity. But like, I'm in this place where I need to provide this great thing, and I need to keep making it better, and I need to deliver for people. Because it just feels like a privilege, I guess you could say.
I'd be
like
scared.
A responsibility.
I'd be terrified just running a business that size, and then like, you know, mailing something to people that's so unorthodox. It's like, because not everybody, it's like, if you send people any other thing, that there's like a common like way to repair it. You know what I mean? But this is a brand new thing. So I'd be weirded out. I'd be a little nervous if I knew I had zillions of float tents out there. Because what if one pops? What if just by bad luck, or someone puts it in a room where their cat swipes at it, or who knows what? That kind of shit would bother me a little bit. But
It could totally happen. And what the original float tank design, like, we didn't have a lockable door, and I started freaking out about kids. Like,
right.
Could you imagine a kid dying in a float tank that we made and shipped to someone? I would fucking kill myself.
But you would have to I don't think people realize, because when I talk about it with people, they're like, aren't you afraid you're going to fall asleep in it and drown? It's like, if you wanted to drown in one of those things, you would have to work to drown. Like, I don't see how you could drown, because you can't get under the water.
No, you can't. And the effort to flip over, and I'm just convinced that it's not going to happen. Too many people have floated.
Like, yeah, you
there's actually one death in a float tank.
What?
Yeah, and I think someone was on drugs or some. I don't know. I don't even know if it's true, but I remember someone reaching out and telling me that, like, I needed to know. I'm like, millions of people have floated, so.
Man, maybe somebody just decided to leave this dimension and not come back. Maybe they just astrally projected too far out and didn't come back or something.
They just stayed. I think that's probably what happened.
Who knows? I mean, that's what Lily was into. You know, this is why John Lilly, apparently at the end of his, when he was using these things towards the end, he was injecting himself with ketamine.
Yeah, ketamine. Ketamine's pretty awesome, actually.
I've never tried it. What's it like?
Ketamine is like, so this is like my college days things, but it, you know, it's just the animal tranquilizer. You microwave it, you snort it. But it was like, you would get this 20-minute like drunkard feeling, but then you would come back to real life and you would be totally fine. In fact, you'd feel a little refreshed. And it was just the most manageable drug ever. And it made things trippy. It kind of made like the dimensions and movement and the floor and kind of like a beginning of a hallucinogenic type thing.
Well, I mean, I think that when you inject it, I know someone actually who is receiving ketamine therapy for his depression. And,
really?
Oh yeah, it's a new kind of therapy. They think it can actually have a very positive impact on people with chronic endogenous, you know, massive depression. And what you do is you go into a hospital, they inject you with this stuff, they give you a big dose. I think they zap you out. Like, you're gone for a while. And after you do it a few times, your depression apparently dissipates. There's research being done in it right now. You guys could check it out. But it's interesting that Lily caught on to that or just thought that there was some kind of benefit from it. And I think for him, it was probably more along the lines of, how the fuck do I deactivate myself? Like, mm-hmm. that's what you're getting. Every time you get in there, you just realize, like, I am like an elephant chained to a pole, but the pole is myself. And if mm-hmm. I could just reduce this, like, it's like, not only am I trapped in the gravity of planet Earth, but I'm trapped in the gravity of myself. And if and the float tank takes care of the first problem, you've got to take care of the second problem. And mm-hmm. that's what it offers you. That's what feels so fascinating about being in those things, is you get this sense of, like, if I could figure this out, and if I could just let go enough, then I'll fly. Like, I'll be everywhere at once. It sounds so crazy.
Dude, I've been having such a battle, an internal battle with, like, with substances, because substances for me, like, they I can reach a place I normally couldn't reach. Like, so say I needed to sleep and I take something for sleep, I get into a better sleep. Or say I need to relax, like, especially with anxiety and anxiety and panic, I would take a Xanax and I would go into this totally inaccessible state on a pill, right? And it's not a good habit. I'm just saying kind of what it was. But what I'm thinking now is, like, when I was, this is crazy out there, but when I did all the substances and the drugs and the ecstasy, mushrooms, you know, cocaine, all this stuff, I was so disrespectful with it. Like, I was totally looking to just be an idiot with my friends.
Yes.
And now that I'm in a place where I have this calm, peaceful environment, and I have a float tank, like this device to even enhance, you know, these experiences, now I'm going, well, what would happen if I did the same things with respect to it? But it's been 10 years since I've done anything like that, and I'm scared of it.
Well, me too. I mean, I am too. I'm terrified of the concept of going in there on some psychedelic. I don't know if you need to.
I don't think you do.
When you were helping me set this thing up, in the back of my head, I'm like, I cannot wait to take mushrooms and get in this tank. And then I started doing it and realizing, like, and noticing the difference between going in there stoned and going in there sober, and realizing, like, it's not, it's like you're adding, you're, it's like, I'm trying to think of a good way to explain it. It's like going to, it's like getting a massage while playing death metal or something. You know, like,
that doesn't make any
sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. I'm just, it's like two things that don't, it's like, don't, they don't, they seem like they should go together, but they don't necessarily need to go together. You don't want
to, go ahead.
Or it's like running with weights on or something. It's like, if the point of the thing is to allow yourself the freedom to merge into everything, and you're mm-hmm. taking a substance that has any kind of ego amplification.
Yeah.
Then that's counterintuitive. It runs counter to the experience. I guess that's what I meant.
One of the worst floats I've ever had was I just got in the tank drunk, and oh. I was so preoccupied with my stupid drunk thoughts. Like, dude, what's happening? Like, oh, this feels different. I think it's different. I don't know, man. I'm hungry. And, like, but it was the worst float. And so if I had any advice, don't drink and float.
Definitely don't drink and float. That would suck. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only you that, hate alcohol,
you're
too.
You're going to, I'm not a fan of it these days, man. I'm really not. And I keep,
you can light it on fire.
You can light on fire. And I've revisited it, you know, like I've revisited booze a few times since I stopped, and every single time the result has always been, ugh, I don't like this shit. I don't like the way it makes me act. I don't like the way it makes me feel the next day. And also, if you were drinking in a tank, you'd have to piss pretty soon. You know, yeah. That's a problem too.
That is a problem.
Well, Shane, how can people find you? How can people talk to you about this? I know people are going to listen to this and maybe think they want a tank. I know you say this, but just I want to say it too. Before you buy a float tank, and these tanks have my full endorsement, I've been very careful about testing it out to make sure that it works, because I know they're kind of expensive and they're going to be a big investment for a lot of people. It totally works. It is a wonderful, wonderful product. But don't compulsively buy one of these things.
No, don't compulsively buy. Go to a float center a few times. I mean, you got to know that you're going to love it.
Right.
My opinion about it.
Yeah. Go float first. Make sure it's even something that you want. It might not be something that you like at all. And that would suck if you spent a bunch of money on the salt and the tank and realize it's just not your thing. So go.
Go ahead. I was going to say, here's the thing, too. Like, say you love floating, but you want to float, like, you know, once or twice a month. Float center is perfect for you. I think even three times a month, you know, the float center fits. But as soon as you want to float on your own schedule, whenever you want, as much as you want, that's the time when you go to home floating. But otherwise, a float center experience is nice. It's like a spa. Everyone takes care of everything for you. So it's what depends on what type of floater you are. But there's nothing like being able to float in your home whenever you want, however long you want.
Nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
It's one of the most insane things to be able to open up the tank and look through that weird entryway into darkness and then climb in. The door shuts and you are in nothingness. And that is wild, man. It's really cool. I'm going to go get in it right now. I'm so into it. I'm so grateful to you for sponsoring the show and for letting me have one of these things, man. Really, like, I can't thank you enough. It's had such a positive impact in my life, and I'm sure it will continue. Shane, thank you so much for coming on the show. How can people get in touch with you?
For sure. So getting a hold of me, if they're interested in having a float tank in their home, it's Zen Float Co. is the company. So zenfloatco.com, you can research the tank, you can look at testimonials, you can see what you're going to get, you can get shipping estimates, all the above. That's the place to go if you want to get a float tank for your home. For me, the thing I'm working on right now is the float book. So the book's called The Float Tank Cure. If you go to thefloattankcure.com, you'll see the book, and that covers all the stuff that's not as trippy, but it's all these crazy benefits that are coming from floating. So check out that if you're interested. The book launches for the float conference here in like a week on the 11th. So check that out if you're interested. And then I have all my philosophy shit on my own website, shanestott.com. I got all sorts of stuff.
Groovy, man. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you'll come on the show again.
Dude, I'd love to. And if you ever want me to come out and check up on your tank or whatever, dude, it was so much fun hanging out with you. So just
yeah, that was a blast. I will let you know. It seems like right now it's doing pretty good, but we'll see.
Maybe you can be one of our testers for like version 2.
Yes, awesome. Or maybe when I figure out these VR goggles, we can somehow figure out a way to implement that into the tank.
That'd be cool.
Awesome. Okay, cool, man. I'll talk to you soon, Shane.
Thanks, Duncan.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And a big thanks to Warby Parker for sponsoring this episode of the DTFH. You can go to warbyparker.com/family hour to get free shipping on your final order of glasses. Don't forget to bookmark our Amazon link. Give us a nice rating on iTunes. Give yourself a nice rating in the universe. We'll be back later on this week with Dr. Drew and Fred Stoller. See you then.